Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And with us for the next couple of minutes, getting ready in 2 days to manage for the third straight year in the postseason. And congratulations to him and his squad on a wonderful regular season. The Philly skipper, Rob Thompson, joining us right now. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Well, it is our pleasure, Rob. Jason knows what it's like to win a championship, and you guys are gunning for it here in the next 30 days or so. So, Rob, let's get into it. How do you feel about your squad ready to go, knowing two cracks the last 2 years, amazing runs, now a third chance? Give us your mindset as you get ready to embark on another Red October.
Yeah, I think I'm really happy with where we're at right now. I mean, I think with the experienced players that we have, adding in the energy of the younger players and what we've been through in the last couple of years and all the disappointment, I think these guys are geared up. They're ready to go. They can taste it. They can smell it. We had a really energized simulated game, interstellar game, whatever you want to call it, yesterday. Went 8 innings, and they were right into it. And I'm really excited with where we're at.
Good. Well, Rob, let's talk about some of the decisions that go into, you know, what could be a championship or not, and ultimately based on how players play. But you got to make some big decisions here. Yesterday, I was struck by your answer on the Game 2 starter. It sounded to me like you're leaning toward Christopher Sanchez, but you did not declare it. Are you ready to declare now who your Game 2 starter is going to be? And if not, am I right that it sounds like it's going to be Christopher Sanchez?
Well, you know, I'm not ready to declare it because we still don't know who we're playing. I'm leaning one way, but it could change. But, you know, there's positives, negatives, or whatever you want to call it to both, whether it's Sanchi or Nola going game two. But with Sanchi going game two, it splits up the righties, it splits up the lefties. Sanchez's numbers at home are way different than they are on the road, a lot better. You know that Nola can go anywhere on the planet, and he's going to be comfortable pitching in a hostile environment, wherever that is. But, you know, you've got your two experienced guys. If you go Wheeler number one and Nola number two, and you're banking on both of those guys going deep in the games. If you have them back-to-back, you think you got a shot at getting a big lead and taking over a series, but you never know. So we're still working through it. There's a lot of, you know, like I said, there's positives, there's negatives to either way you want to go. And there's arguments on both sides. So we'll see.
Rob, in recent weeks, Castellanos has been the primary cleanup hitter. In recent years, he JT and Boehm have all gotten extensive time behind Bryce at number four. Is it going to be Castellanos out of the gate backing up Bryce as the cleanup hitter?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm kind of leaning that way right now. I mean, he's been very productive. He had great at bats yesterday, and I've seen him and hit a home run. And he's just clocked in all year. You know, plays kind of 62 games, and as the season wore on, he just got better. I'm really happy for him. I'm really proud of him. He's controlling his strikes a lot better. He has a lot less movement in the box. He's just had really, really good at bat.
Rob, what's the biggest managing lesson that you learned the first two postseasons, the first two postseason go rounds that'll make the difference the third time?
Well, I don't know. You know, they're all well documented things that happen. Bullpen usage, staying with guys too long, taking guys up too early. I mean, anything that goes wrong is going to be, you know, talked about. But I think you have to do what your heart tells you to do, what you feel. You know, pitch hitting earlier in the game, I think, is one thing that we do. Of course, I feel like we have some depth sitting on the bench. Those final two spots haven't been decided yet, but I think it's going to be, one's going to be a right-hand hitter, one's going to be a left-handed hitter, and I have a lot of confidence in all those guys that we're choosing from. So, I think that's something that you could see moving into the postseason. Even if you have a lead and we've got runners on base, you might take, you know, an elite defender out just to add on.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are things that are have constantly gone through my mind in the last couple of years. What can we do better? What decisions did we make that were wrong? Or maybe we made some decisions that happen to play out in our favor, but they were still wrong in my mind, you know? So
sure.
There's always a post-mortem on every game, on every season, and you learn from it.
So we've seen the team hot and cold this year. We saw the team last year in the postseason go cold. What can you do to counter the cold?
That's a good question. Because every team seems to go through it. And
yeah.
I think, you know, with our guys, I think the experience of the last two postseasons is going to help. You know, you look at our season this year, we lose the first two series of the season, and then we went 16 straight where we didn't lose a series, and that's hard to do. And, you know, you get into, I think it was June, I think it was July, the end of June, 1st of July, and we lose six in a row. So there's, I always talk about the ebbs and flows of the season, and you just got to ride it out. You just got to, you know, stay with who you are and continue to be who you are. Try not to do too much. Try not to put the team on your shoulders and pass the baton. And I always talk to our players about getting lost in the team. If you're struggling to play, if you're struggling on the mound, do some little things that can help the club and just sort of get lost in the team. Because everybody goes through it at some point.
Rob Thompson with us here on WIP. Of course, getting ready to manage in 2 days. It'll be game one of the NLDS against either the Mets or Brewers at Citizens Bank Park and here on WIP. Rob, let's talk about Johan Rojas. Last year, he struggled big time at the plate in October. Do you feel he is ready for this October to be different?
Yeah, the one thing that he's done this year that and we harped on him, worked on it a lot, he's gotten a lot better, is that when he's in a lineup, is to chew up pitches in that ninth spot, to bunt people over. He had a nice safety squeeze yesterday, and he's gotten a lot better at it. He's understanding what his role is and how to move runners and how to, as I said, how to chew up pitches to help guys to try and get on base for Schwarber and Turner and Harper. Because when he's on base, he puts a lot of pressure on the other team, and so consequently, those guys tend to get better pitches to hit. But I think he's maturing as a player. He's getting better, and we all know the defense. But that's going to be a tough decision. You know, what's our best lineup? Is it Marsh in the left and Rojas in the center, and then we switch in the fifth inning or to get more offense in there, or is it? You know, you start with the offense, whether it's Hicks or whomever, or Hayes, whoever's in left, and Marsh in the center. and then go with the defensive guy late. So those are tough decisions, and I think they'll be on a case-by-case basis, depending on who their pitcher is, what the matchup is, and who our pitcher is. If we got a fly ball guy, maybe it's better to play Rojas from the first inning on. If it's ground ball guy, strikeout guy, maybe it's better to keep the offense head. So I think those are going to be daily decisions that we'll be, I'm sure, talked about quite a bit.
Oh, there'll be talk. Well, you guys and us here, no question. Rob Thompson here on WIP. So, too, with Chickies and Pete's is Jason Kelsey, Rob, who's co-hosting with us today.
That's right.
How are you?
I'm doing great. It's an honor to talk to you, Skipper. I had a question for you. The postseason in Philadelphia at the bank, I've been fortunate to go watch you guys play the last few times. It's a lot of fun for me, but can you speak to the advantage that atmosphere brings you guys and what you're expecting this postseason from the Philly fans down there at the bank?
Yeah. You know, I coached in New York for a lot of years, and so I've been in a lot of playoff situations, and either in New York or on the road. And I've never, ever experienced the excitement, the energy, the passion that our fan base brings us. And it's incredible. I tell the story a lot. And after 22, the season's over, and I'm talking to one of the coaches from another club that we had played here. And I said, we're just talking about the playoffs and the decisions and things like that. I said, what was it like for you guys to commit to the bank and play? And he said, you know, he said it really affected our club. It really affected our players. And he said it was 4 hours of hell for them because they're just intimidated by it. And you know, I can see it because it is from introductions all the way to the last pitch. They're standing, cheering. There's no letdown. They're just incredible. It really energizes our guys.
Rob, let me ask you this, and we'll wrap on this. So much talk, and you've touched on this in this discussion today, but I just want to drill down on this. Is your mindset that if certain players are struggling, not Bryce Harper, but certain players, that you will make alterations quicker this October, changing the lineup or taking guys out of the lineup entirely if need be? Is your mindset to do it sooner this year than past years?
I think I'd stay away from our experienced guys because they've been there before and they know how to make adjustments. But some of our younger guys, absolutely. You know, I think that we have to have more conversations with the coaching staff as to, you know, how a guy's gone, how he's feeling mentally, how he's feeling physically, what the matchups are. But, yeah, I think that, and especially pinch hitting within a game, I think that, you know, that's something that we might move on a little bit quicker.
Well, Rob, we wish you, and I know I normally don't talk on behalf of others, but right now I'm talking on behalf of like 5 to 10 million. We wish you the best of luck. Go get it. I mean, the city is just – are people at Chickies and Pete's excited for Red October here?
Woo!
Yeah, baby!
Yeah!
Woo! That's
Rob, brilliant. Go get it, my man, and good luck to you. Thanks so much for being a big part of the show. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
All right, there he is, Phillies manager.
No pressure. Just
Rob,
about 5 million people are kind of looking forward to a good run, Rob. Go get them, big fella.
Our hopes and dreams are on your shoulders. No big deal.
I love it. All right, more with Jason up ahead, plus a station announcement at 8:40 today and a special guest at that time. A big hour going on for a big week, for a big month, and let's hope a big year where we can look back like we do with 2017 and say, that's the year a championship happened, even though that was February 2018. Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP.
Hey, devoted football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first down touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Place a first touchdown score wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly.
Well, this is what we're looking for this October, Red October, here in South Philadelphia. Of course, Citizens Bank Park, where a game's going to be in 2 days. Right now, I can't call this the calm before the storm because we ain't calm. But it's jumping here, obviously, at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. One of your homes for Red October. The real home, the main home, Citizens Bank Park. The second home, Chickies and Pete's. Yes. We're all October. You can watch all the games. And by the way, when you do, get the Kelsey combo at Chickies. Craft it by Jason. Jason Kelsey, that is, and includes Kraft Fries, a barbecue burger, and garage beer. Jason Kelsey with us right now. Jason, there's a lot happening here, as you know. Let me ask you this question, Jason. And, you know, we're all hoping in about 30 days the Phils win a championship. What was it like for you? And we've heard these answers a bit before, but now that it's been some time, what was it like for you to win a championship? That's what we're hoping Bryce Harper gets to do in 30 days. Yeah. What was that like for you?
It's weird. The moment it happens, the moment the ball fell and Rob Gronkowski didn't catch it, which was great. Your whole career kind of flashes before your eyes, and you're remembering everything that it took to get there, and all these guys that you spent a whole season with, and sometimes some of these guys your whole career's with, and it's just a really selfishly gratifying thing combined with just an insanely communal gratifying thing. And immediately it became more apparent, especially at the parade and then after and all the years after, how much it's meant to the fans and the city, and you know how long people had really wanted to get that. And I think it's something that you just, I don't know, it always sits there with you, and you're just very appreciative that you were able to be a part of it.
Would you have felt a certain incompleteness if it hadn't happened?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, well, certainly now.
Who
knows how I'd feel if it would have never happened?
That question should have gone to Richie, actually. John, do you feel your career was incomplete?
Man!
I'm sorry.
I will say, going to a Super Bowl and losing is probably the worst feeling on the planet. Because for everything I just described of getting there, and actually, like, you so much goes right, and there's so many guys, and getting there makes it such a tight group, and it's really gut-wrenching. And you just think about... I think about the plays in which we lost more than I think about the plays in which we won, to be honest with you.
No question.
And, so yes, I'm very thankful that I got one of them right. That makes me sleep a lot better.
So, another thing that's been gut-wrenching has been our performance, well, the Eagles' performance, the offense's performance in the first 15. You know, the first 15 plays, we get excited Saturday night because we get to see this masterpiece. It's an attack plan that you get to see a little bit of everything, the way a defense is going to respond, but it's supposed to work.
Ideally, yeah.
And the last month, it has not worked. We have not scored in the first quarter of these games. What's going on, man?
Well, I mean, it's what you said. What they've been trying to get going early just hasn't worked. And I think part of that's probably, maybe they've seen looks that the first 15 weren't designed for. Maybe they haven't been executed as well. I mean, there were a couple plays open early in the last game that they just had drops on or, they didn't execute on. I think that... I do think it's a good sign that they're figuring it out as the game goes. That tells me that Kellen is seeing what's available on the day and getting the plays that he knows work and are conducive and that we're able to execute. But, yeah, you would love for them to start with that in the first 15 plays. And I don't know if they operate the same level with, like, the first 15 the way Andy did, but all these coaches come into games with their immediate plays they want to get to and things that they've seen on tape. And I would say Jalen is a different quarterback than a lot of other ones. And in my experience, teams tended to do different things against us than what they did against other teams. And I think that you have to try and your, it's like almost like your first 15 has to reflect what's on tape and then also what you think teams are going to do and what certain coordinators have done against us in the past or those or Jalen Hurts.
Sure.
I think last week, like, I knew not preparing for Tampa Bay that they were going to come out with a 6-2 front to try and shut down the run game, right? Like, that's what they did last year in the postseason when we were limited on the outside. I just had a very strong sense that Todd was going to say, you're not going to run the ball and dare us to complete passes down the field. And that's, you know, for the most part what he did. He brought a 6-2, six down lineman on the – I mean, it's a goal line defense.
Yeah.
It's not a regular in the field like looking thing. It's very hard to design run plays, especially when you don't have a fullback. We tried to put one out there, yeah. But it's not the easiest position, which I love Ben, and I think he could be great at it. But yeah, it's fullback.
Yeah, it's a backup linebacker, Ben Van Summeren.
Yeah.
I think
yes, that's his name. Yep.
Yeah,
he was out Van there offset as a fullback.
But he, I don't know you. I love seeing scout team guys get their opportunity, and he's been such a great piece for the team. We'll see what happens in the future with that. But, yeah, it's you know, and then they're bringing corner cats and, like, all these things that make it really difficult. So, but they would have known that was going to come. They've faced Todd enough to know that they were going to do these things, and I think that they had some things dialed up that we just didn't execute on.
Jason with us here on WIP, as he is every single Thursday for an hour from 7:30 to 8:30, though a treat today as we're out at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, where, of course, we absolutely love to be. Reminder, special announcement coming up in 10 minutes, station announcement, that is, with a special guest that will join us. Jason, let's do a couple final things here as we mix in Eagles and Phillies sort of overlapping today.
Yeah.
So, you know Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts 10 trillion times better than we do. Mm-hmm. How do you think they are individually dealing with the struggles? We hear what they say publicly, but how do you think internally, privately, what are they going through as you would sense it?
Well, they're highly competitive, highly confident individuals, and I think that that's what you're usually dealing with high-performing individuals. And I don't know internally. I know that when I've always talked to them, they both do a really good job of separating the stuff that's not going to be beneficial for them and using the things and narratives that are true in moving in a, forward in a direction that is productive. And I think that that's really important. I think a lot of the times you'll hear people say that, you know, tune out all the outside noise or, like, just ignore it. And I just think that that's a – to me, that's near impossible in today's stage. Like, with social media and everything out there, it's you know, tuning everything out, I think, is just not going to happen. You have to be a confident and secure enough person to be able to hear criticism and know how that guy's – doesn't know what he's talking about, and that's a ridiculous statement just made. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, you know what, that's a fair statement, and these are things that I'm trying to improve. And mm-hmm. the better coaches and players that can navigate it that way with a truly secure position and understanding of what they got to do to get better, I think operate really well. And I think Jalen, he's faced so much criticism throughout his career. He's so used to this at this point, and he's bounced back numerous times. This is nothing new. Nick has certainly faced this his entire time in Philadelphia.
I'll say.
So it's, I don't think that that is going to get to these guys in any way, shape, or form. I think if anything, they'll get better from it. You know, I know that this last game was a complete embarrassment, but I, you know, listen, Vic Fangio is still one of the best D coordinators in my time in the NFL. Get those guys playing tighter, more aggressive. You can play these zones and soft zones and still attack. Like, I saw, you know, Jair Alexander is playing like a deep third, and he jumps a hitch route, pick six. Like, you can play a deep portion of the field and still take chances and still play aggressive with receivers. And I think that they're going to get back to that, especially after what happened last week where they're just ripping us in the flats. I think Vic's going to make those corrections.
The problem is, how do you when we start out playing off and soft,
yeah,
it's like hard to adopt that aggressive mentality. Like, you're talking about jumping routes.
Yeah.
It's like when you're sitting back all day and in too deep. It's like they get away from that. Slay gets away, forgets what it feels like to jump.
And around. I and maybe that I listen, I did not play
No,
defensive back in the NFL. So maybe, I think this is a whole other thing. But I agree. I think that in general, we can do some things to make these guys feel comfortable being aggressive and getting in guys' faces. And I'm sure they're going to be doing that all practice this week. Yeah. I think that you, Vic, that was pretty much what he said after the game. Like, he knows it.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that they're going to get back to that. And they have good enough DBs that they can be aggressive. We need Chauncey to be, like, that's his nature. It's like an aggressive, like, talking, get him doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't care, like, people used to say, like, Troy Polamalu missed more tackles than anybody in the NFL. And he did that because he flew in like a heat-seeking missile with reckless abandon. And we need that. That's what we need on defense. And I think we're going to get back to that. I firmly believe those guys will see this. And this is a hungry team. I think they're going to make those corrections. Offensively, we're going to get these guys healthy after the bye. So I feel good about, you know, what's going to happen in the future, even though this last game, you know, obviously wasn't something that was fun to watch.
Was the Sidney Jones, like, coming back?
Sidney Brown.
I make the mistake all the time.
Sidney Brown.
You want to talk about heat seeking missile?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. And by the way, Vic Fangio did talk about him unprovoked, I think, in his press conference yesterday or this week. Mm-hmm. I think he's excited about a guy coming back who flies around and puts his face on people.
Yeah,
I would love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Avante tried to make a play like that very early in the game, and he just missed it. But you can't just sit back and do your job and, you know, give things. You got to take chances. You got to force negative plays. You have to apply pressure, whether it's to the quarterback or to the receiver. You have to make teams uncomfortable. And I think that you have to do that with the thing in the back of your head that says, like, hey, if he runs a double move here, I might be in a bad spot. But you got to have, you know, the cojones sometimes to make a call, trust your instincts, and go make a play. And I think I look forward to watching these guys do that.
Hey, Jason, thanks for being a huge part of today's broadcast.
Thanks,
and all
guys,
season
thanks for
long.
Me.
Enjoy Red October. Let's hear it, ladies and gentlemen, for Jason Kelce.
Let's go, Phils.
With us every single Thursday, 7:30 to 8:30. Jason, enjoy Red October, pal. Thanks,
right,
man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he is. Let's also give you the Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. With the all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse, it has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, two different poll questions today. The first, who would you rather the Phillies play in the NLDS? Now, we're going to know by the end of today who it's going to be, but who would you rather it be? A, the Brewers, or B, the Mets? They have a Game 3, a decisive game tonight. The second poll question today, who should bat cleanup behind Bryce Harper? Should it be, now there's three choices here, because obviously going to put a right-handed stick behind Bryce. Should it be Alec Boehm? Should it be Nick Castellanos? Or should it be JT Realmuto? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let me remind you, we broadcast today from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, which, of course, is an awesome spot and will be all through October and beyond, by the way. And Chickies, your destination for all the postseason broadcast all fun and, of course, all the action here year-round. And reminder, our broadcast as a station today goes until 7:30 tonight. So 13 and a half hours of coverage. Really kind of a Phil's pep rally in many sorts of ways. So happy to be here, thrilled to be here. And your chance on the phone lines to join us, 215-592-9494. A station announcement coming up in about 2 minutes. 2 minutes, a station announcement. Let's go to Rob calling from South Jersey right now. Rob, good morning.
Joe, what's up, man? Happy Red October to everybody.
Indeed.
Joe, before I get into Red October, I want to make a... I've been pitching this in my head for like a week or two. Jimmy can attest to that. Now, before I say this, I want to say I know very well that last week you accepted a challenge and beat the Hammer, and you don't like to do it back-to-back week.
Correct.
But I want to say this.
That's not mine.
The division series is coming up. It is a five-game series, as we all know. You and I in Beat the Hammer are tied 2-2. What better way to start off a huge baseball weekend than having our deciding game five and beat the Hammer, and it'll be the last time I ever play you. Let's freaking do it tomorrow.
Well, it'd be a better way for me to, you know, go into this weekend, because I would win and you would lose. But the reality is your initial instincts are correct. I do not do 2 weeks in a row of accepting the physical challenge. I am a man of the people, and I will give everyone the chance on Friday to be able to call into the contest line and have a shot for glory, which, of course, none of them will actually get, because they're all going to lose. But
I can't say
I told Rob this was going to happen. I was like, Rob, it's too soon.
Come on, Rob.
I appreciate it.
I love that you're challenging him, and I would say don't stop. Bring it again sometime, but Joe is doing the right thing here.
Rob, I'm going to give you a Game 5 analogy if we did it. 1980, I would be the Phillies, you would be the Astros. I'd be Manny Trio, you'd be Nolan Ryan blowing a 5-2 lead.
You actually invoked that when I beat you the third time, make it 2-1. You invoked the ADNLCS, so I thought that.
Well, I guess I have my go-to lines. I got to mix it up.
You got to get some new ones.
Jahlil Okafor. I got moves, but then when there's I don't have a counter move.
I will definitely be try to be the caller tomorrow. But to the actual Phils, you know, I really don't understand this Negadelphia mentality. That, I don't want to play the Mets. They're the 2022 Phillies and this and that. Listen, you know. I know baseball. The problem is why people are scared is because baseball is a niche sport where once October starts, the records really are 0-0, and any team in the National League can literally get the series. Now the odds, of course, are going to favor the Dodgers and Phillies. But listen, the Phillies have a better starting rotation.
That's right. They have
a much better bullpen. They have a much better and deeper lineup. So I don't care if it's the Mets or the Brewers. The last 2 years, it's been singing these guys. This is the Phillies' year, so I'm very, very confident. I just don't understand the people that are scared. I don't.
All right, Rob, give me an answer here for the Dane Cook tickets. In honor of Red October, give me something great that's red.
A book.
Ah, nice.
Wow.
Outside the box answer.
Very nice. Yeah.
He slides the A in there. He slides the A. It's R-E-A-D. All right. You do read a book, and it does get read. Well done there. All right. Speaking of Red October and speaking of everything going on here at 94 WIP, let me introduce the owner of the Philadelphia Phillies, as we are proud to make an announcement in one moment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it. He's put together quite a team. Mr. John Middleton is with us in the house.
Yeah.
John, hello, and congratulations, John, on a wonderful regular season.
Well, thanks. It's a long journey from Clearwater to where we are. We've still got some road to travel. I'm excited about it. I think the team has really done a great job. Rob's done a fabulous job with his coaching staff, and obviously Dave's done a great job with his assistant GMs, and Sam is the GM, and putting a really terrific team together.
You know, Rob, John, let me tell you this. We know through the years there have been some exceptional owners in Philadelphia sports, and Ed Snyder was one, and David Montgomery was one, and Jeffrey Lurie, you really, John, I mean, the town is so proud of the organization that you have going on right now. Congratulations. I don't mean this in a 2024 sense. I mean where it's been the last couple years and where I believe, and I think most of us believe, it's going to head for a number of years. You have really stamped your mark in Philadelphia as a great owner in Philadelphia sports.
Thank you.
Amen.
I really appreciate that. It's a humbling challenge to be to do what we're doing here, because it's a very high standard you have to meet, and you have to meet it consistently. So, and I think, as I said, Dave is, well, in my opinion, when you ask the question, who is the greatest baseball executive in history? I think the list starts with Dave Dombrowski.
Wow.
And I say that because there are five GMs, and I'm using that term as the top baseball executive as opposed to president of baseball ops, or his actual title is. But there are five GMs who have won a World Series title with two different teams. He's one of those five. But no one in the history of baseball has ever taken more than two different teams to the World Series, and Dave's done it four times.
That's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, that's great stuff. John Middleton with us here on WIP. Of course, we're all so excited for the next couple of weeks in Red October, and, you know, a real chance for the Phillies to have their third World Series in club history, to grab it and host another parade here in Philadelphia. Let me pivot right now to an announcement, and we've been teasing this for a couple of days here. We here at WIP, our show, our radio station, our parent company, Odyssey, and I know in conjunction with the Philadelphia Phillies, are very proud to announce that we have agreed with the Phillies to a multi-year extension to keep Phillies baseball here on 94 WIP Sports Radio, 94 WIP, for years to come.
Phillies baseball on WIP, which of course means the Odyssey app and all. And John, we are so happy, thrilled, and proud to have Phillies baseball on WIP.
Well, I would echo that. We're happy, thrilled, and proud too. I, you know, obviously being a baseball fan all my life, I grew up listening to the radio. I think there's a very special relationship between radio and baseball. We've had some spectacularly great Hall of Fame great Harry Callis and Bisom and other near greats like Bill Campbell. And I remember being in Ocean City, New Jersey, and listening to the signal fade in and out at like 9 o'clock at night, and I'd be constantly fiddling with the dial to try to get back. I remember, I can think about driving, you know, at night, you know, long distance, and I'm listening to the radio. And there's just, I think the pace of baseball and the way there's kind of a pause between pitches and between batters, and it's just a wonderful, and the great announcers, and I think Scott Fransky is as good as anybody I've ever heard.
Great.
Including Bisom and Harry Callis. And I think they really tell a story. They use those lulls to tell a story and paint a picture. And you kind of imagine in your mind what they're seeing as they relate it. And I'm thrilled because you guys are home to us. You guys make me feel comfortable and warm. And I'm really grateful to have this relationship.
Well, thanks, John. Well, we are as well. Let me say the games, you know, I referenced there. We're talking about, of course, you know, select spring training games. We're talking about regular season games and Red October and also, you know, on WIP, but also streamed on the Odyssey app, which is a huge part of the presentation of our radio station, the Odyssey app. So happy for years to come, Phillies baseball here on WIP. John, let's talk to you for a few more minutes, of course, as you get ready for a third crack at it and a town that is so excited for what's up ahead here.
John, how much does winning a championship mean?
Pretty much everything. I said on this show years ago when Angelo asked me, I said, you know what, I'm going to either win a title or I'm going to die trying. And, you know, I hope, you know, that when the time I said that many years ago, I think people kind of were like, okay, show me. I mean, I understand that. And I hope the people today would say, you know, okay, you've put your money where your mouth is, and we're going all out. I mean, it's maximum effort every day, so it matters. It matters hugely to me. I see this personally as a huge part of my legacy. You know, I want to be remembered 50 years from now as a great owner. I don't think owners aren't the part. They, you know, the players are baseball. To quote that a line from Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, Indy, you and I are just passing through history. You know, the arc, it's history. The World Series title, the players who deliver it, they're history. I'm just passing through, but I want to pass through and leave something indelible.
Good for you, John. Well, you know who's really made their mark also, big time? The fans in recent years. Can you describe what it is like to be an owner, to watch a sea of red? What is it, 45,000? Is that what's in there?
Well, yeah, but yeah, when you're standing room only.
All right. What's it like to see that, and they're going crazy in October?
So I'll give you a couple of comments. I wasn't there when the commissioner made this statement, but people who were told me about it. When he walked into the stadium in 22, he turned to some people and said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And it's, you know, that's, you got to try to put it in perspective like that. I mean, having grown up here, I'm not surprised by this because I've lived this since I've been 5 years old in person. But it's, you go to other stadiums and they say, oh, this is really, people are, you know, excited. But you kind of look at me and say, well, that's like nothing to us. I mean, here's another example. We had a group of chief financial officers in the stadium on a Tuesday night. I think it was August. And, you know, there's 44,000 plus fans there, and they were going nuts. And one of the CFOs turned to our CFO and said, is there something special tonight? And our guy goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, I mean, all the fans, like all the excitement. He goes, no, this is like every day. I said, if you came yesterday, you'd see it. If you come tomorrow, you'd see it. Yeah. And just, you know, you really can feel the stadium move. You know, when these 45,000 people are up and screaming, I mean, there's a seismograph reading from Penn State. When Bryce Harper hit the home run in the 22 NLCS, it jumps. I mean, you can literally see it. And then, wow. and then it drops, and then it goes along. And then when Nick made the final out, caught the final out, I mean, it goes back up again. I mean, mm-hmm. You talk to the trainers down inside the belly of the stadium, underground, and they would tell you the plate glass windows were shaking.
Wow.
There was water rippling in the whirlpools. I mean, where else do you get that?
Sure.
But Philadelphia. And that's why, when I started out on this, I knew if I put the right team on the field, the fans would respond. There was zero doubt. I was 100% confident that Philadelphia fans would respond the way they had for, all of the 60-plus years.
You've lived it. You being here, you know the moments. You have lived.
Yeah.
You have lived. Like, this is – remember guys smiling? This is your life? Like,
yeah.
Philly's baseball, I mean, it is
– And it's not just – but look, it's not just baseball. I mean, I can tell you – talk about when the Flyers
sure.
won the Stanley Cup in 74. I was a freshman in college. It was in the middle of Massachusetts. I was surrounded by hundreds of Boston Bruin fans. And there was probably, a dozen or 20 of us from Philadelphia were watching the TV and a frat, and we won, and we all just kind of went, and the campus was just silent. And we went to dinner after that. We were like pounding the table and stuff. And everybody from Massachusetts and New England was just like bummed out.
Yeah, sure.
And so I've lived that, and it's I love the opportunity to give Philadelphia moments like that.
Good, John. Why is it that the third time with this group, the third time is the charm?
Well, I think if you look at the 07 through 11 team and you look at the 80 team, I think each of those teams, and I would say the same thing about our team, I think we've gotten better every year. I think this is a more complete team. The roster from top to bottom is better. You know, we've kept the top. We've raised the bottom. The average is higher. I think there's experience matters. And Nick made a point about what we did in the offseason is we knew the players could do this. And the players now know each other better. They understand each other better. I think it's a more cohesive team today than it was in 22. So I think all of those ways. And look, this is a sport where the interaction between players is especially important because you're playing 6 out of 7 days with them. And so you're constantly with them. And I think that chemistry is really, really important. And they believe in each other. They, when somebody can't get the job done, the next man up says, okay, I'll do it. And you think back to some of those games at home, particularly the Mets series at home, and we had AAA players making had huge at-bats, critical walks, critical hits to win the last two games. I mean, it's special, and the chemistry creates an atmosphere and a culture in the clubhouse and on the field and in the dugout, and all of that works in multiple ways to kind of just make the team better. So that's
John Middleton here on WIP. As we announced a few minutes ago, WIP, Odyssey, our parent company, the Phillies, a multi-year extension to keep Phillies baseball here on WIP and the Odyssey app for years to come. John, one more thing I want to do while you're here, and I want to get your reaction in the moment to it, because we have what we believe is perhaps the greatest compilation of Phillies audio that we play about once a year. And I want to get your reaction to it. You just referenced 80. You just referenced 08. You just referenced 60 years of Phillies baseball that you've personally seen. Back in the pandemic, when there was no opening day on what would have been opening day, to try to lift the spirits of our listeners, and everybody was very down at that time. It was a very tough time in society. We put together a compilation of the greatest moments in Phillies history. And we have added to that in recent years, as you, with your organization, have added to that in 22 and 23. I want to play this for you. We were going to play it tomorrow, but since you are here, I want to play this for you. I want to get your reaction. This is a couple minutes. I want everyone listening right now to enjoy. This is our life as Phillies fans, the greatest of the great. John, sit back, relax, enjoy, and then we're going to get your reaction. Let's hear it for Phillies baseball.
This is for Philadelphia.
Here's the stretch by Robinson. The 3-0 pitch.
Swing a long drive. There it is. Number 500. The career 500th home run.
important game for Roy Halladay. He winds the 0-2. Swing and a dribbler out in front of the plate. Ruiz out to get it. The throw from his knees. It's in time. And it's a no-hitter. Unbelievable. Ruiz and Halladay embrace. And the Phillies again celebrate around Roy Halladay.
A one-strike pitch. Trail a line drive. Fair ball. Left field line. Avila scores. There's no one to be waved around. He's going to score. Matty Trio. A third and triple. Phillies lead at 7-5. What a comeback by the great bunch of Phillies.
Stairs rips one into the night. Deep into right. Way out of here. And Philadelphia gets a pinch hit two-run shot. And the Phillies lead 7-5 in the eighth.
A 1-2 pitch. Swing, a hard ground ball. Base hit! Base hit! Down the left field line! Brooks scores! Phillies win! 4-3 on the RBI hit by Kim Badkeith!
Striking off! Perfect game! A perfect game for Jim Bunning! Here come his teammates! Oh, what a happy scene for the Phillies and Jim Bunning!
Jimmy Rollins is going to track for three!
The pitch. Swing and a base hit to left center field. Hank Amelia's going to score. This game is over. On an RBI hit by Mitchie Poo. The Phillies have won it 6-5 and 10 on the Wild Things RBI hit. Can you believe it?
Swing and a drive left field. It's deep. It's going. Yes. And it is gone.
Yes. Yes.
Harper has put the Phillies on top.
It's popped up. Boom. Rose. They'll have a play. Boom. Boom dropped it and Rose caught it.
On the heels of J-Roll, there goes Chase, and this is chopped to McBride. He throws it. Chase is going to keep going, and he's safe at home plate. Chase Utley, you are the man.
Nods yes. The wind. The 1-2 pitch. Swinging a ground ball left side. Castro's got it. Spins. Throws. Yeah. He got him. A perfect game for Roy Halladay. 27 up and 27 down. Halladay is bobbed at the mound as the Phillies celebrate perfection tonight in Miami.
Ground ball. It's fair ball. Brought to Paul. The Phillies are the 93 National League Eastern Division champions. This wonderful band of throwback players has won the National League East, mobbing one another on the field.
The crowd will tell you what happens.
Well hit for the opposite field.
Sabathia with a 1-2 pitch. Swing and a drive. Down the left field line. Braun going
come
back.
On,
he
on.
Looks up. And it is gone!
Yes!
Grand slam Victorino!
Oh, wow!
Phillies lead here in the second. 5-1.
A 1-2 pitch. Oh, is that huge?
Gary Matt.
one is falling. It's a base hit. It'll go up the alley. Rutland will score. Ruiz around third. He is being waved home. The Phillies have won the ball game. Ruiz slides. Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout. Yeah. Rollins ball near third. This game is over as the Phillies strike again with two outs in the ninth inning, and they have a 3-1 lead.
Pitch to Schmidt.
Long drive to left field. He buried it.
To Zimmerman. Ground ball up the middle. J-Roll dives to Amigo Rodriguez. The Phillies are the National League Eastern Division champions on a spectacular double play. Turn J-Roll to Utley to Howard. What a play by J-Roll.
Oh, my word.
Popped up. Shallow right. Segura going out. Castellanos coming on. Castellanos has it. Championship! They have beaten the Padres 4-3, and they celebrate on their home turf.
3-2 pitch, swing and a drive right center field. Maddox is there. The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Struck him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
Gentlemen, is the ultimate. Woo! And I mean ultimate Phillies montage. And John Middleton, we are so proud to have Phillies baseball on WIP and part of the Odyssey family. And we are excited for October.
Let's go Phillies! Let's go Phillies!
John, what is going through you hearing all that?
Goosebump moments. It's a replay of my life. You know, I experienced every single one of those events in some fashion live. May have been listening to the radio, may have been at the game itself, but I as soon as they started talking, I knew within a couple of seconds what was coming.
Of course.
And it's special. And I tell you what's really, to me, what's really special is you listen to the background noise, particularly for the home games and the fans. I mean, that reaction, that's why my job's important. That's what my mission is in life. And I need to give people those moments again. Because they're indelible moments growing up. You could be watching with your best friend. You could be watching with your parents or your grandparents. And, you know, it just, when I think about the 80 series and the final out, I was sitting in the last row of 648 with my father. And I just, that was such a special moment for the two of us. And then taking the subway up, getting off at City Hall, and just Broad Street was mobbed. You couldn't even move. It took us like an hour and a half to get to our car, which was like a block and a half away. But we talked about that for the rest of that moment for the rest of our lives together. And it's just special. And that's my mission.
Well, listen, John, the next 4 weeks, you got a shot for all those cheers again. And what, you know, Harry said there, 08 World Series champion, it really could be in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You guys could really do it. John, we wish you the best of luck. You got a great team. And again, on behalf of everyone, WIP Morning Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP, and our parent company, Odyssey, thank you for believing in us and connecting with us. And we're so proud to have Phillies games for years to come here on WIP. Good luck this October.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
There he is. Let's hear it for the Phillies owner, John Middleton. All right, 215-592-9494. Your reaction to it all. We're so happy to be here from Chickies and Pete. Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. And let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, where, of course, you can get in on all that action in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, look, get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. And there's so much to bet on, including, of course, another game tonight. Believe it or not, back to another game in pro football as Week 5 makes a turn to Thursday Night Football with Atlanta in action against Tampa Bay. Find the better bets at works for you, consider making a same game parlay and lock it in with Thursday Night Football with FanDuel Sportsbook, where you can lock it in at FanDuel.com/hammer. That's FanDuel.com/hammer, the official partner of 94 WIP. And also, postseason baseball, that's there as well for you at FanDuel.com/hammer.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.